with the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're talking a little Texas barbecue this week. And tell you what, I got some family down there that have turned me on to some great places. Bob, you've got some friends that are familiar with the area as well, right?
Yeah, one's on the live line right now. It's Danny Skiff. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good.
Hey, now Danny is now in the oil business, so I'm sure you're just taking a break. How hot's it going to get in southern Texas today?
It'll probably be about 110 on our location.
Oh, that's a cool breeze for you. So Danny and I go way back to the smoker peddling days. And we did have an awful lot of fun. We have a mutual friend. His name is T. Gid. Jop, you've talked to T. Gid before.
Only about 100 times. Yeah.
And so anyway, Danny, let's tell the folks a little bit about what defines Texas barbecue.
All right. It really all starts with brisket. You know, beef is king in Texas. We do have some good places with pulled pork and pork ribs, but it's really about the brisket. And the method of cooking the briskets really came from German and Czech immigrants that came to Texas back in the 1830s. And what they would do, the butchers would cut up the beef and, you know, put it for sale. And what didn't sell, which was usually the tougher cuts, including the brisket, would be smoked so that they could sell it later. That's really kind of where smoking that part came from, but smoking briskets as briskets and advertise them as briskets really didn't start until the early 1950s in Texas at Black's Barbecue in Lockhart, which is one of the three famous barbecue spots in Lockhart, Texas. And a man named Edgar Black started selling briskets then, and so he really revolutionized it. Barbecue restaurants have brisket now because of Edgar Black.
Well, he is the legend. He just passed away, didn't he?
Yes, last week.
Right. And that's Black's in Lockhart. Yeah, what a legend. And I saw your post on that. What a cool guy.
Yeah. Yeah, he built their pit there in 1949, the one they still cook on.
Wow. And, if those walls could talk, right? Man.
Exactly.
So exactly. tell us how he does his brisket, or how they do their brisket.
All right. It's really a very simple system. They cook it long and slow. They're usually using oak as their heat source, and then some pecan is typically in there. I know a few of the barbecue restaurants that are kind of famous in Texas use oak and then put you know, wet pecan shells in there to control their temperature, their fire, and to give some more smoke. But it's really simple. Salt and pepper rub, minimum amount of trimming, and then long, slow cooks, you know, up to 20-hour cooks over the oak and the pecan. And so the flavoring in there is the meat. They're usually not served sauced, although Edgar Black had so many requests for sauce because nobody else in the area served barbecue sauce that he and his wife worked on a recipe for about 20 years before they ever brought it into the restaurant.
That's perfection.
That is. And it's the only restaurant there in Lockhart that has sauce.
Now, is that considered hill country?
Central Texas. It is kind of the hill country area. Central Texas is where a lot of the European immigrants settled in the 1800s, you know, and brought that style of cooking. Lockhart is probably about 30 miles outside of Austin. And so it's definitely a popular barbecue spot. They call themselves the barbecue capital of the world. If you go there and eat, you won't really have anything to argue about it.
So they do a lot of things other than brisket, though, in Texas, don't they?
They do. One of the things that's gotten kind of popular, and it's not inexpensive when you go eat it, are the very large beef ribs. And Louis Mueller Barbecue in Taylor, Texas, a little north of Austin, was one of the first ones to do them. I know Franklin Barbecue is kind of famous for them now. I had some that were probably the best I've ever eaten at a restaurant at a place called 2M Smokehouse in San Antonio last Saturday. And it's a big, giant beef rib. And again, they're cooking it low and slow till it's tender like a brisket. A little bit different flavor, you know, because of the ribs and the bones. You know, briskets have been sold boneless since about mid-1970s. So it's a little bit different flavor being cooked on the bone.
So now up in San Antonio, did they leave those intact and give you like four ribs?
Well, you're buying it by the pound. Like most barbecue in Texas, you buy it by the pound. They put it on some butcher paper and hand it to you. At 2M Smokehouse, they only do those big beef ribs on Saturdays. My wife and I went up there to try them because I'd heard they were great, and they were. And we waited in line about an hour and 10 minutes to get in there. People who got in line probably 30 minutes after us didn't get any beef ribs, and they only do them on Saturdays.
Wow. That's got to be so disappointing.
But that's barbecue. You know what I mean? It's a 20-hour cook. I'm going to cook so much of it, and when it's gone, it's gone. It's not like I can just whip up another order.
Right.
Yeah, with those beef ribs, you know, they came out and asked us while we were waiting in line before they opened, do you want beef ribs or want to get a count? And so we actually said we wanted two. Well, the beef ribs there are $22 a pound, and the two beef ribs weighed about 2.5 to 2.75 pounds. So it's not something I'm going to go eat every day.
Right.
But you would if you could.
Yeah.
Yes. It was well worth it to go there and try them. And the only better beef ribs I've ever had were ones that I did, and they don't always turn out that good.
Right. Right. They're not the easiest.
Exactly.
So Danny, let's run down that road a minute, because I've got a few of them in the freezer right now that I want to thaw out and do. Give me two or three tips on beef ribs, because now you say you let the cat out of the bag that you actually make them as well.
All right. I try to buy some with a lot of meat on them. I've got a local butcher down in Pleasanton, Texas, called Grandin's that I can go get them from. There are two kinds that I get, and it kind of depends how much money I want to spend on them. I either buy uncut beef short ribs, and so that's a rack of four bones, and the ones I get down there, it's probably about 3 inches thick. And so one rack of four ribs is going to weigh probably 5.5 to 6 pounds.
Okay.
And what I do with them is I peel the membrane off the underside, and it's a little tougher than peeling off the membrane off the pork ribs, but you got to be persistent, get that off of there. I'll trim a little bit of the fat off the top side, not all of it, of course, but any place it's thick, I'll trim it off. And then I use a hot sauce called Crystal brand Louisiana hot sauce. And I'll just slather the whole thing in Crystal brand hot sauce. And then sprinkle on about a 50-50 mix of kosher salt and fresh ground black pepper. And then the way I typically cook them, I put them in the smoker with cherry wood as a smoke flavoring, and cook them for about 6 hours for those 2.5 to 3 inch thick ribs. In about 6 hours, they're tender. And I know they're done when I stick my thermometer probe into between the bones and it slides in and out with no resistance, kind of like how I check a brisket.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're not wrapping them at all?
I'm not wrapping them. The only time I wrap them is if I'm going to be holding them for a while and, you know, serving them over a period of time.
Right.
And then I usually try to wrap them in butcher paper instead of foil just so I don't kill the bark on it as much.
Right. That's a good idea.
That's how I do my briskets and how a lot of people down here do it. I actually read about it in Aaron Franklin's book about wrapping them in butcher paper. I was cooking some pretty good briskets the first time I ever went and waited in line and ate at Franklin Barbecue in Austin. And the brisket, the texture and how tender it was just blew my mind.
Mm.
And that was one of the things he said is he wraps them in butcher paper. And usually wrap them after the stall. So I'm waiting until the brisket gets to about 175 IT and then wrapping it in butcher paper and putting it back in there until it's tender.
Huh, interesting. After the stall. Well, Danny Skiff, always good to talk to you, buddy. I hope the son's doing well in the judo, and he's got a great master in you. And I look forward to the next time I get to see you again.
Thank you very much, Bob. Job, it's always a pleasure.
Ours too. Buddy. Thank you.
That's Danny Skiff, lives just outside of Fort Worth, Texas.
All right. We've talked to him a dozen times, yep. And now all of a sudden we get the last secret, right? Use your butcher paper on your smoker. Now, butcher paper on a smoker, you don't have direct flame. Don't have to worry about it catching on fire. But when you wrap them in foil, you lose the bark. The butcher paper keeps it.
Great
cool
idea.
Little tip.
From Franklin, that was,
right.
too.
Cool little tip. Coming up next, we're going to smoke your carnita. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Sweet little thing. She my pride and joy. She my sweet little baby. I'm my little lover boy.